Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's gospel lesson's an interesting gospel lesson. Well, actually, all the lessons are interesting because they are working to the same conclusion. But it's fascinating. What is humanity's greatest desire that we have? Think about it. What is the one thing we would all want if we could get it? You know, you ask the question, what would be your greatest? And some people would say, win the lottery. Others would say, eternal life. Others would say, knowing all things. But if we really break down what we really desire more than anything, if you ask me, would be control. Think about that. Why? Because if you had control over everything, then you could have all the money in the world you'd want. If you had control, you could make your friends think about you how you want them to think about you. If you had control, you'd have power to command things. Here in the lesson, we see a person who does not have control. And so he runs to Jesus and asks the question, can't you make my brother share with me some of the inheritance? Now what's interesting is probably according to Jewish law, how it went was that his brother really did not have to share anything with him. And Jesus really does not get into the issue here. He says, wait a second, I'm not really interested in breaking down the rules of this world. But I'm here to talk to you about what you really desire. Because the reality is, no matter what I would force your brother to give you, you still wouldn't think it's enough. And he goes into this lecture of a man who has everything he wants, but in order for safety and security, guess what? He takes down the old barns and builds new barns and tries to make sure that everything in life is going to be good, and hopefully he can sit back, put his feet up, and have a party. But it's never going to be enough, right? When we ask somebody how much they need to make, you ask them, and just a little bit more. I've noticed even the wealthiest people in the world don't sit there and say, I made enough that I'm going to stop working today. Or I'm going to stop investing. They might be generous in giving, but they are still working to gain more and more. Just as in popularity, I've never seen somebody who's popular sit there and say, whether you're the Kardashians or whoever the popular singer is, oh, I've enjoyed my time as being popular. I'm going to stop doing things and fade back. You don't see that too often, do you? Because we're always seeking for more. But Jesus says there's something more than trying to gain something. That it's that radical inversion that when we lose control, we actually gain control in God. That when we give things up to God, guess what? We actually gain so much more that the control we recognize is the one who's really in power is in control. And when we're aligned with him, we feel steady, secure. It's very similar to what we want to feel with our government or want to feel with our leaders or our fathers and mothers or parents is that safety and security. We can think of the times when we as children were worried and nervous and we came running to our mother or father or a parental figure and they wrapped their arms around and we felt secure, right? It wasn't in our security, it was in the security of that. Or when our government tells us that we can be secure and not have to fear about the things around us, that makes us feel good. And then, unfortunately, sometimes we get let down. But God says that security is found through him. And in Paul's letter today, we see what are the things we are to give up are all kinds of things that we are not in control. Lust, passions, And instability, that what are we to take on? Stability of God. What does this look like? It seems like it would actually be contrary to the Lutheran message of that you cannot earn salvation. But the reality, it comes into play with the Lutheran message. What does God say about us? God says that even as we are fallen sinners, we cannot do anything to earn his gracious and merciness. That all of our justification is wrapped up in Jesus solely. We are saved by grace through faith. Nothing we can do can change that. See, that's salvation. That's knowing that before we could even ask it, that we are saved. It is that recognition that when Luther was talking to the Roman Catholic Church about children and infants who were not baptized, the Roman Catholic Church tried to do gymnastics and say, well, babies that weren't baptized went to this place called limbo. Other churches have the age of accountability. Luther's response was, I know who God is. I know God is gracious and merciful. And if that child had no chance to be baptized, God is there wrapping its arms around it and saying, here you are in eternal life with me. Because that's God. Same goes for us. Before we could step forward to the baptismal font, God reaches his arms around us and cares for us. That's great and merciful. That, notice, when we come to confession and that's the first thing we do, it is not let us confess before God that we will never make mistakes ever again, but God actually responds to us, child of God, you are forgiven before you even ask. Before you can even think about being forgiven, you are forgiven. That is the proclamation. God acts before we can ever react. But then there's that thing that Luther would argue that once we experience justification, once we experience what it means to be saved, there is more to life. This is what Luther's getting at. It is that part that we as Lutherans don't talk about is the sanctification or becoming closer to God in holiness. It does not earn us righteousness one bit. But it gives us peace, comfort, security. It gives us the strength. And how we get to it and why we get to it is because the closer we come to God, the more peace we get. It is not what we earn or how we value or what we do. It is in Christ. And why are there certain things that we do? The church has said that over the years, these things that are helpful for you to come to Christ are praying, worshiping, consolation and confession with your brothers and sisters, that coming together and witnessing. Why are these things of importance? Why does the church say these are how you come closer to God? Oh, one of the early church fathers, actually the desert father, John Chrysostom, who talked about that the reason we must have these things is not because we can't come to God any other way. It's because it gives us a way of knowing we're getting closer to God. It's kind of like the person who shoots an arrow or a gun. He doesn't go to a range and just start shooting a gun down the range and have nothing to shoot at. Because how do you know if you're a good shot or not? What they do is they go out and put a target, right? With a little red bullseye or something. And if you hit that bullseye, it means you are getting better. Or if you're like me, if you hit the paper at all, you're doing better. But that if you don't know what you're shooting at, if you have nothing to measure, then guess what? How do you know if you're improving? It's like in the mid-80s and 90s, businesses had these great wisdom. They wanted to have great goals. And whatever the businesses do, guess what? The churches follow just a little bit after with a little scripture tied in. And so churches had these big goals of, we are going to be witnesses to the world. We're going to do feed the hungry and nobody's going to be hungry again. And guess what we came up with? How do you know if you hit it? If you don't have reachable goals, how do you know you get there? Are we always going to be a failure? And so the reality is that the church has said, though we are saved by grace through faith, that there is a way we can get to come closer to God. A way where we can put aside the things that lead us away from God and find that as much as we want to be in control, that our safety and security is not in the things we do, but in the works and acts of God. That the things we come closer to God and we realize that we put away the concerns of our world and instead take on the concerns of God, we are comforted, we're strengthened, we're transformed. Isn't that what we want? We want to know that tomorrow will be as good as today. We want to know that we will live in peace and security, that there will be enough food on our plates. What we need to do is not worry about whether I'm making more money today or bigger houses or better jobs or whatever it is. But when we focus on God, we'll find that the Creator, the one who is in control, the one who in the midst of the storm told the sea to stop, the waves to simmer down, who with 5,000 people hungry fed them enough that there was food to be shared still. That's who we find, and it gives us peace. Not only in Jesus' day, but I pray that it might give you peace this day as well. Amen.